32 people in Southern California were arrested this week at a protest near the U.S.-Mexico border. They were gathered to support the thousands of migrants on the other side of the border wall who are still waiting to apply for asylum in the United States. Many migrants are fleeing violence in Central America. But there may be another reason so many of them have made the trip north: climate change. The Weather Channel sent a reporter to cover that story.
We are here doing a report, yes, on the weather. We are taking a look at climate science, taking a look at what's going on in Central America, and what we have found is there is a prolonged drought. That's what we're reporting on here. Migrants are being forced to leave their land because they cannot grow crops anymore.
Robert Albro has been looking at this issue. He's Research Associate Professor of the Center for Latin American and Latino Studies at American University. He joins us from Washington. Welcome.
Thank you.
And tell us, how much is climate change affecting this migration from Central America? Because this is something that's been talked about for a long time as something that would happen in the future, that climate change would cause mass migration. But you're saying it's happening now.
Yes. You know, we should be clear that when we talk about the migrant caravan that's gotten so much attention recently in the media, of course, it's impossible to draw direct connections between climate change and people who are currently attempting to enter the United States. But one of the things we can say is that a disproportionate number of those migrants come from a part of Central America in the Northern Triangle called the Dry Corridor, which is essentially the Pacific Coast, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. And disproportionately, those folks are leaving their communities of origin for reasons having to do both with criminality and violence, which we certainly cannot disregard, but also food insecurity. And food insecurity has its sources in changing environmental conditions that we can also correlate with climate change.
And the food insecurity is because of the things that they're growing there? Are they not able to grow the crops that they have been in the past?
Well, so this part of Central America is a combination of subsistence agricultural and some commercial agriculture. So the commercial agriculture is primarily things like coffee, particularly in Guatemala. In the rest of it, we're talking about maize, beans. These are crops that are disproportionately affected by temperature change. And this is also a part of Central America, Jeremy, that is heavily influenced by things like the El Niño and La Niña effect, right? And one of the things that's been shown is that that effect has been growing more pronounced in recent years. So the immediate context for this is a severe drought in the years 2014, 2016 into 2017 that had, you know, an absolutely catastrophic effect on subsistence crops for people who were forced to, you know, make drastic decisions in the face of the absence of what they would normally have had to subsist on.
They don't have enough food to eat.
Basically. And so, you know, one of the reasons for this is, you know, kind of changing environmental conditions in this area, making the growing of the kinds of crops that we traditionally associate with that harder. You know, one of the things that happens is these are folks who are, by and large, relying on irrigation from rainwater. And if that becomes irregular, if there are long periods of the absence of rain, and then those are interspersed with often flooding rains, you know, this spells extremely dire conditions for small-scale farmers.
And in addition to it affecting their own nutrition, it also, I'm sure, makes it more difficult for them to make a living there if they are farmers that need to survive on other people buying their crops.
Well, that's right. So, you know, the other factor here, you know, if we look at things like commercial crops like coffee, is, you know, we've seen the increase in kind of deleterious effects on coffee crops. There's something called coffee rust, which is a kind of a plague that affects coffee trees, that is becoming increasingly common. And this has to do with the fact that the immediate conditions within which these coffee crops find themselves are increasingly hostile to, you know, coffee. It, you know, weakens the trees, it undermines the production of the crop. And then the problem, of course, is that it's difficult to recover from this rapidly, because these are cash crops that take a while to reproduce, right? You can't just say, oh, you know, we've lost the coffee crop, so we're going to lay in soy, right? It's there's a long turnaround to develop a new alternative crop.
So what's the solution to this? Is there anything that the governments of these countries can do to deal with this problem?
Well, I mean, it's a difficult problem because we're talking about largely agricultural economies that are situated ecologically in a part of Central America that's increasingly vulnerable to, you know, erratic climatic conditions. So we've seen, you know, worsening hurricane seasons. You know, obviously there was a lot of attention paid to the 2017 season with Hurricanes Maria and Irma, but in 1998, a disastrous hurricane caused a tremendous upheaval in Honduras that was the original reason for the northern migration of Hondurans to the United States, who had been up to very recently protected under the temporary protected status. And we would expect to see more of this kind of thing. And it's not as if there's an easy fix for this. You know, in addition, we don't actually have in place the kinds of conditions in the broader kind of legal and normative frameworks that govern the movements of migrants and refugees that are prepared to accommodate the anticipated increase in environmental migrants. Right? At this point, these are classified broadly as economic migrants, which are not in any way protected under international law. I mean, we talk a lot about the likelihood of the increase of climate refugees. But that's a term that maybe climate scientists would use, policymakers might use, the media might use, but it doesn't have any actual legal standing. So for us to be more prepared to more comprehensively approach this problem, we would have to put in place the kind of legal and normative international framework that would recognize the predicaments of these people.
Do you expect that will happen?
I have to admit to being somewhat skeptical, at least in the short term, given the kinds of politics that tend to accompany policy discussions around migration. Whether it's in Europe, whether it's in the United States, these are very fraught, as you know, right now, and they are, unfortunately, political wedge issues. And so as long as that's the case, this is going to be a problem that we're going to have trouble solving.
As we're talking right now, people are meeting from all over the world in Poland for another climate summit. How much attention do you think this issue, migrants due to climate change, is going to get at that summit?
So the issue of environmentally induced migration, you notice I'm saying that instead of climate-induced migration because it covers a broader range of things, mm-hmm. where climate, of course, is certainly an increasing and major part of that, is just starting to come into its own and get the kinds of attention that it's going to need, but it's incipient. And so it's only been in the last decade and really not even that we've had serious multilateralism around this. And this is not at the level of nation states directly, but at the level of, you know, sort of civil society actors meeting to try to generate a kind of a critical mass to move states to understand and then embrace the need to recognize the necessary reforms that would have to happen in how we understand migrants as an international state of affairs. And, you know, environmental migration still remains somewhat low, I think, on the priorities. Right now, it's all about holding nation states accountable to, you know, the minimum things that they have committed to in the mode of mitigation. And much less attention has been given to the issues of adaptation and resilience, you know, predicaments of agricultural communities and people who are going to be finding themselves more on the move than previously as a result of, you know, a much more volatile climate. So this has been an issue that's tended to follow in the wake of these other more immediate concerns.
You must have been pretty surprised to see that the Weather Channel had sent somebody down to cover the migrant caravan in Central America.
Well, it's, people have started to view the caravan as a kind of a means to, you know, kind of draw attention to the idea that maybe what we're talking about here is a major, you know, social and political event of migration that's, you know, climate induced. I guess what I would say is the Weather Channel is starting to see the issue of climate change less in the distant future and more in the present and near future.
That is Robert Albro, who's a research associate professor at the Center for Latin American and Latino Studies at American University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it.